You're listening to Reading Glasses, a show about book culture and literary life designed to help you read better. I'm author and book devourer Mallory O'Mara.
And I'm Bria Grant, filmmaker and e-reader. This episode, we're delving into the question we've been discussing a lot lately. Why do we all love small town books so much? We love them. Mysteries, literary fiction, doesn't matter. We seem to love them. They're on a lot of people's wheelhouses. We're going to talk about it.
But first, what are you reading, Bria?
I just finished a book for my book club, which I wanted to talk about. It's a book you've talked about a lot on the show, and people, Glassers love this book. It's called Cemetery Boys by Aidan Thomas.
Ooh, good book.
It's going to have a lot of things people like. Ghosts, a non-white protagonist.
Magic. Queer people.
Magic. Queer people. Queer ghosts. There's so much to happen here. So basically, this
sexy queer ghosts.
Oh, yeah, there's a romance. I got really involved in this romance. The main character is trans and wants to be a brujo, which is these how do I describe this? So it's basically this group of people who can speak to the dead and release the dead back to like when they're like on Earth, so they can talk to ghosts.
And it's in this, it's a community that is in LA. It's a Latinx community, and in this world, in this community, all the boys are brujos, all the girls are brujas,
right,
and they
right.
have very specific kinds of magic that is very gender segregated.
Yeah. So the women can heal, and the boys can communicate with ghosts and send ghosts back to. I guess they all can communicate with ghosts, but they can basically cut this tether and send ghosts on to like their afterlife. And basically, he summons this ghost. He becomes like a brujo without his family's permission. He summons this ghost, and then there's this whole mystery about how this boy who goes to his school died. And also, there's a guy like in his family in this community that died, and it's these ghosts working with him. But also, there's this like funny girl sidekick, and then there's a romance. It's great. So it checks a lot of boxes for people, and it's very adorable. And it's fun. And I was like, oh, this ending kind of surprised me. Like, it's a cool mystery.
The ending is very, very surprising. Mm-hmm. And what's fun is that it's a great book to read in June, because one of the central things in the book is his family doesn't want him to be a brujo, because they're like, you were, assigned female at birth. And he's like, yeah, but I'm a fucking boy and I can do this boy magic and I'll fucking show you whether you like it or not. And it's really, really cool.
Oh, yeah, that is great. It also would be great to read in October, because it takes place right around Dia de los Muertos. It takes place like in the few days beforehand or something. What are you reading, Mallory?
So I have gone on a small town book bender post-read Max Fun Drive. There was a few different books that you and I talked about that were like, we got to read more witch books, we got to read more fairy tale retellings, and we got to read more small town books so we can recommend them to people. And I have gone on a tear, small town tear. And I was really excited to read this book because when I was recommending books for the drive, one of my favorite small town books to recommend is The Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend by Katerina Bivald. And when I was getting our affiliate link to put in an email to somebody to send them their recommendation, I realized that she wrote another book recently.
Oh, great. Oh.
Another adorable, heartwarming small town book. Wow. So it's called Welcome to the Pine Away Motel and Cabins by Katerina Bivald. And it is translated by Alice Menzies. It's so funny that you and I always end up reading very similar books at the top of the show, because the main character in this book is a ghost. So this is not a spoiler. Trigger warning. In the beginning of the beginning scene of this book is the main character dying. She gets hit by a truck and she becomes a ghost, and she manages this motel in this small Pacific Northwest town. And she's like, the opening scenes are her going, well, shit, I'm a ghost now. What do I do? And she realizes that she's here as a ghost, and she's not like her funeral happens and she doesn't go away. So she's like, fuck, I guess I'm stuck as a ghost for a while. So she decides to try to do everything that she can with her ghostly powers to help the people that she loves in this small town be happy again. Not just because of her death, but because as a ghost, you know, this, what's cool is it's like the ultimate small town book, because she's literally like walking through walls and like following around. Like one of the scenes is her following her best friend to the bar and like watching as she interacts with other people. So she, you get to see all the people in this small town, but in this like almost like third person omnipresent way, where she's seeing them as they are, very unguarded, and she's seeing all their secrets and she's seeing them all be unhappy. And she's realizing like, you know what? I died before I did a lot of the things that I really wanted to do in life. I don't want the people I love to do the same thing. So she, it's this like heartwarming story where she's trying to make all the people that she loves realizing that life is short. And so obviously the beginning is a little like, it's content warning and a little sad, but it's so heartwarming. Great small town book. I absolutely love it so far. So that's the Welcome to the Pine Away Motel and Cabins by Katarina Bevald and translated by Alice Menzies.
What language is it translated from?
Swedish.
And mine.
It's funny that she's from Sweden, but she always writes books that take place in the U.S. So you don't, it doesn't, this is kind of going to sound weird, but it never feels like a translated book.
Interesting. And mine is Cemetery Boys by Aidan Thomas.
So we want to take a moment to share some listener feedback. Kaylee wrote in, I used to be a massive reader, like read the fifth Harry Potter in one sitting kind of reader. And then I got a really severe brain injury, which made focusing on written words really hard for me. It was heartbreaking and it stole part of my identity. But I have always liked graphic novels and I was encouraged by listening to you guys to give them another try. You guys, I can read again.
Aww.
I literally cried when I realized I had devoured 4 volumes of comics in a day. I am burning through all the content my library can offer. More, more, more. Thank you for reinforcing constantly that all reading is valid. Thank you for promoting graphic novels. Thank you guys for being kind and funny and charming and letting me live my life vicariously through you for long enough while I found a way back to this world. Kaylee, aww, fuck yes. Hey. Congratulations. Welcome back.
Yeah,
this is why all books are books.
Great. That's so great. I love it. I love it. That's so wonderful. Exactly. All books are books.
And Kaylee, if you ever want recommendations for graphic novels, email us. We will give them to you.
For sure. Rebecca wrote in with a hot bookmark tip. Do we have a noise for that? Bookmark tip?
No, and I don't really know what it would be.
It's a hot bookmark tip. You hear it sizzling. It's a sizzling bookmark in the background.
Oh, yeah. Just yeah. Zzz. Yeah. It'll be like the sound of fajitas coming to you at a Mexican restaurant.
And also a wheelhouse. I recently figured out a way to solve 2 problems. What to do with stickers I love too much to use and needing to have bookmarks in my many book hiding places. Laminate the stickers. I get a beautiful bookmark and never have to worry about the sticker being thrown away. And Kaylee... And Rebecca sent us a pic, which we'll put on our Instagram. Rebecca's wheelhouse is historical romance, monstrous monsters, locked room mysteries, queer love stories in space. So I feel like that's everyone. Bookish mysteries, lyrical, introspective prose, just about any nonfiction, though I love Mary Roach, one after Mallory's heart, murders that expose a community's problems and small towns and or families with secrets. Oh, my library, the Enoch Pratt Free Library in Baltimore City, also has a storyline. Rebecca gave us the number. This is a story anytime. Phone number, we'll put in our show notes. But if you're just writing it down, 410-396-8396. This month, I recorded a story on Mailbox One. Oh, that's so great.
Pretty fucking cool. Also, now I feel like we're really radio DJs if we're reading phone numbers out loud.
I know, it's so true.
Love it. So... Two repeat bookmarks from us. We just wanted to remind everyone that we do have, we just last week we launched our new merch collaboration with our friends over at Void Merch. T-shirts, mugs, stickers, pins, totes, notebooks, pillows, basically anything you want in different fabrics and colors with awesome phrases we say on the show all the time. Ask me what I'm reading. If I'm reading, don't talk to me. We love the designs. They're absolutely fantastic. If you were looking for some cool new shirts for the summer, tote bag perhaps, or a new mug, we really, really love them. There's a link in the show notes for that. And also I wanted to remind everyone that my book, Girly Drinks is now available for pre-order. There's a link in the show notes. It's a nonfiction book. It is a sort of feminist cultural slash micro history about women drinking from the dawn of time until now. It follows the history of women making and drinking and serving alcohol all over the world up until today. And I'm really, really proud of it. I'm really excited about it. So if you're a cocktail nerd or a women's history buff or like a foodie, culinary wine kind of person, this book is perfect for you. If you order the hardcover or the ebook, there's photos, there's snarky footnotes. I read the audiobook, which you can pre-order. I hope you like it, and I hope that you'll take the time to pre-order it. It really means a lot to authors. So you can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. If you want a list of all the books we talk about on the show delivered to your inbox every month, you can sign up for our newsletter. There's a link in the show notes. And before we talk about small town books, we're going to take a quick break. Reading Glasses is sponsored in part this week by Dipsy. That's right, folks. Everyone needs an escape, but those can be hard to come by right now. Enter Dipsy. Let yourself get lost in a world where good things happen and where your pleasure is the only priority. So, folks, Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories that are designed to turn you on. That's right. It is an app full of sexy stories. It's amazing. You can listen to stories about hooking up with your hometown crush you never made a move on, or that coworker you always had a little thing for, or maybe a story that puts you in bed with someone who's telling you exactly what they like to do to you. Various sexy scenarios, whatever you want. And the coolest thing about Dipsy, the thing that I was most impressed by, besides the fact that the app looks really awesome and the stories are great, the narrators are great, is that you can search by sexy wheelhouse items. Yeah, it's awesome. It is so cool. I wish like all bookstores and online bookstores were set up like this. You want a sexy teacher? You can type in sexy teacher. You want sexy talking? Type in sexy talking. You want just specifically queer sexy stories? You got it. And when you pull each story up, it pulls up all the different wheelhouse items that it's part of. And it is awesome. It's such a great way to search for stories. And, you know, there's many different kinds of stories. If you want to get wound up, also if you want to get wound down, Dipsy has wellness sessions. They have like sensual bedtime stories and soundscapes to help you relax before you drift off. It is like the ultimate before bed experience. And like I said, the narrators are great. The stories are diverse. The writers of the stories are diverse. So if you're looking for something sexy before bed, if you love romance, if you want to get into romance, you want to try out some erotica, Dipsy is absolutely perfect for you. Bria and I were so impressed with it. I absolutely adore it. So for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/glasses. So that's dipsestories.com/glasses. So that's 30 days of full access for free. dipsestories.com/glasses. So that's a whole month of testing out some sexy stories. You can listen to a lot of sexy stories in a month. You should absolutely give it a try. It's free for the first 30 days. So that's dipsestories.com/glasses. Glasses.
Hi, my name is Graham Clark, and I'm one half of the podcast Stop Podcasting Yourself, a show that we've recorded for many, many years. And at the moment, instead of being in person, we're recording remotely, and you wouldn't even notice. You don't even notice the lag.
That's right, Graham. And the great thing about this... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
And you can listen to us every week on MaximumFun.org.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your podcasts.
This week, we're discussing books about small towns. Why do we all love them so much? What makes them so appealing? What makes a good one? So during this year's Max Fun Drive, we recommended about a million different small towns. Especially books about a small town with a secret. So Bria, why do you think these books are so appealing?
I mean, I know for me, I can speak from personal, I'm from a small town. So I know like when we, especially the small towns with the secrets, I know there are a lot of secrets. So, because basically, if you're with people you've known since they were like peeing their pants on stage in your kindergarten play, you know everyone's business. And there's something like salacious about that. It's like knowing like a celebrity, but the celebrity's in your math class. And you also know they like peed their pants in kindergarten. It's a small, like, insular community. I think there is something interesting, especially when it comes to, like, these secrets, which we talked about a lot. But even if it's just a community anyway, I think we're interested in, like, telling stories about communities because humans are pack creatures, you know? And I think that is compelling for us to see how a community behaves, especially when you have, like, an outsider coming in, and especially if they have a secret, because we have to ask ourselves, like, would we keep this secret? Like, the town's keeping the secret? Would we be the person from the outside? I think there's just, like, something about us as pack animals that's going to make us just want to think about communities, and small towns represent communities to us. What do you think? And apologies to everyone. I know there's a gardener at my house, but this is the only time we can record.
Does he know? Does he have secrets?
He told me he has a few secrets.
So I think this probably goes for a lot of listeners and a lot of the people who were requesting books about small towns. I think a book about a small town, especially one with a secret, hits on a ton of different reading pathways and wheelhouse items. So if you read for character, these books usually have an ensemble cast of characters, and there's a lot of character stuff going on.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they all have their own interesting stories and personalities and secrets and relationships to other people. If you love setting, you know, obviously the town itself is almost a character. It's such a, the setting of small town books is very, very important. If you love plot, a lot of these books have some sort of secret or goal propelling them along. So I think it hits on a lot of things that people love about books all rolled into one. And that makes people really drawn to them. Like, but Bria, so what for you specifically, what would draw you to a book about a small town?
Well, again, I'm from a small town, so, like, any sort of, like, obviously it's a location that is familiar to me, and I love gossip, you know? I just, like, it's easy.
You do love a secret.
I love a secret, and I'm horrible at keeping them. So, like, all of these things are very exciting for me just as a person. I also think it's a little easier, like, I mean, I think, like, you have the small town fiction versus, like, urban fantasy or something like that. But in these urban books, you have to learn the full city and there is a full city, but this is just, like, one aspect of the city. And I think with a small town, like, here it is. This is what you need to know. It's just this town. It has this one secret. And obviously no town is that small and just has that one secret. But I think when we can distill it down to this easy idea, I really like that because it's something I can just grab on to. What about you? What makes you like a small town book?
So as we figured out in our reading pathways episode, I am a plot reader. And the fastest, most reliable way to hook me into a book is to make me wonder what's going on or what's happening. What? Some secret happened 20 years ago that's making someone act weird? I have to know what the secret is. I have to know what happened. Did someone murder their neighbor and other people help? Did someone have an affair? I have to fucking know. So many of these books feature very complicated relationships between people that are influenced by secrets and events. And wow, I fucking love figuring things out. It's all you have to do is, like, have a character in the first chapter allude to something that happened, some secret the town is keeping or some event or something that's going on. And I'm immediately like, I have to read this entire book because I have to know what it is. Mm-hmm. I must know. Mm-hmm. And plus, I love the quirky ensemble cast of characters. I love books that heavily feature diners and bars.
Yeah. Yeah.
If anyone has small town books that heavily feature the local bar, please email us. I actually just finished a book for this episode that I was reading a bunch called Coastliners by Joanne. Oh my God, I can't remember her last name. The same lady who wrote Chocolat. And it was like, takes place in a French small town, but a lot of this book takes place in their local bar, which I was excited about. Cause you know, I love a bar. So Priya, what do you think are crucial, besides obviously the small town part, what do you think are crucial elements to these books?
Well, we talk about secrets. I mean, we like the secret thing, right? We like when people know something, so we think so I think you have to have the secret, but I think to have the secret, you need a person who's not in on the secret, right? I think that's important. So we discover the secret through them, or they're prying in on this secret or something. And then we get to see, like, ooh, will they figure it out? Will they be punished? What will happen? Because even the books that have, like, you know, no major secrets. There's still usually like an outsider coming in and seeing this town. It's not usually just a town. There's like something like sets it off, right? I think, like you said, a cool setting. Like it can be a rando small town, but it needs like a central hub, like a restaurant, like in Bluebird has a restaurant at the center. But like in Forget This Ever Happened, there's like a spooky water treatment center. Or maybe there's like a weird mayor who just seems to like have something weird going on. Like you need a hook. You need the thing, the location, the thing that makes you go like, oh, that's weird and different. Like there's something weird happening. Actually, it may not be a water treatment center. It may be in a power plant. But it's like this place outside of town. And spoiler, it contains monsters. So I think that these are things. So you need that outside person. You need, like you said, like a location. What about you? What do you think?
I'm going to actually build on that a little bit because I think one of the most satisfying and important parts of a small town book is the main character usually finds or figures out something really critical about themselves. And there's always that like element of self-discovery. Obviously, we all love all the characters and stuff, but I think that this needs to be a strong part of the book, whether it's like the main character is someone who's come home to a small town after being away for a long time and figure something out about themselves, or a stranger comes to town, or someone who has lived in the town for a long time and wants to leave. They always need to figure out something about their lives. And there's something about the small town and like wisdom from all of the quirky characters in the small town that helps bring them to that moment. And I think that that's one of the things, at least for me, that makes a small town book really good.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because I was thinking about the book, The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires, which is a small town book with a little bit of mystery. But the main characters are not new to town. They have been there a long time, but they discover something kind of about themselves through a mystery character coming to town. But it's not from that character's POV. It's from the main characters who have been in the town for a long time.
Yeah, so I think, because obviously if everything stays the same in a small town, it's not an interesting book. But if it's something, you know, someone comes to town and changes things up, like, you know, the book I was talking about at the beginning, the readers of Broken Wheel recommend this woman from Sweden comes and opens a bookshop and everyone starts to change a little bit and she finds out things about herself. Like, I think it's really interesting. It's always interesting to watch a character change. And small town books are great for that. So very important question. Okay. Bria, which quirky small town character would you be?
Okay. I think I'd be the person, like the lady who like waits tables, chews gum, you know, recommends the peach pie. It's great. We just made it fresh today. And I work at the local restaurant. And then someone is like there, like trying to figure out this mystery. And I say something like, Rita May? Why, we haven't seen her in these parts for 100 years. Or, you know, something. That's my character. And I'm mysterious about it. What would you be?
I would definitely be the weird old lady who like lives alone at the edge of town with her cats. That Great. Like at a critical point in the book, the main character like walks in front of my house for some reason and starts talking to me, and I give them some backstory that makes everything click. I'm like, oh, well, that reminds me of the flood of 1822. So-and-so was really, like, really affected by this. Like, and me telling the main character about this historical event or this event or the secret or whatever, all of a sudden they're like, oh, I understand. There's a book that I read called Quiet Neighbors by Catriona McPherson, and it's about this woman who comes to this little Scottish town and works at a bookstop there. And she's always talking about this thing that happens in Agatha Christie books, because she's always talking about this concept that, and it's this literary device, and there's a French name for it, and I can't remember, but there's something that happens when a stranger comes to a small town and everybody in the small town knows about this one particular thing so much so that they don't feel the need to explain it to this outsider because they just assume that they already know.
Yeah.
But it's actually that piece of information that everyone knows that's critical for the main character to figure out this secret or this mystery. And I feel like I would be the weird old lady who has like 100 cats that like gives them that piece of like, oh, well, I want to tell you this story. Also, I just want to live in a little house like at the edge of town with a million cats.
I think you already do.
It's true. I do. It's funny because we're doing this episode because I now live in a small town and we've been adjusted like so small that we do not even have a mailbox.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
we're way up in the mountains, and I think about these small town books all the time and like listen to the Twin Peaks soundtrack all the time. And I'm like, ooh, because I think this weekend, now that we're vaccinated, we're going to go to the diner for the very first time. And I'm like, what quirky characters are we going to meet up here? It's been very
fun. Well, it's interesting because these small town books, obviously, like they are like a heightened reality because there is no, I mean, there are towns like this small, you know, but where everyone knows everyone. I mean, it's like a rarity these days. Like, you know, it's usually like you won't know everyone in your small town, even if maybe if you live in a town of like 8 people, you know, but otherwise it's going to be there. It is a rarity to have someplace this small. And so it's a little bit of a heightened reality, I think, when we're reading them.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head at the beginning of the episode. So a lot of people come from small towns and miss it a little bit, you know? So you can send your thoughts to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Before we solve a bookish problem, we're going to take a quick break. Reading Glasses is sponsored in part this week by Owl Crate Jr. Owl Crate Jr. is an award-winning subscription book box for kids ages 8 to 12. Every box is carefully put together to encourage curiosity, creativity, and imagination. Each one includes a brand new hardcover middle grade novel, an exclusive letter and signed book or bookplate from the author, and activities and goodies to go along with the book's theme. Best of all, they ship right to your door, starting at only $27.99 a month, plus shipping. That's like getting a new hardcover book. In fact, it's actually cheaper than getting a hardcover adult book. A lot of hardcover adult books right now are over $30, and this is less than that. Whether you have a voracious young bookworm in your life or you're looking for a fun way to encourage a reluctant reader, Owl Crate Jr. is the perfect subscription for ages 8 to 12. Past themes include Winged Beast, Elements in Alchemy, Epic Quests, and more. And if you want to check out examples of all their past boxes, they can be found at owlcratejr.com, which is extremely cool. I get excited when I get subscription boxes. I can't imagine how excited I would have been when I was a kid if I got a subscription box every month with a book in it and cool stuff. I couldn't resist when we got our boxes in the mail. I had to look at them, but then I took its glory and passed it on to friends of mine who have 2 kids in this age range, and the consensus was huge hit. Activities were a hit. The book was a hit. It was such a great thing for the kids to do. I know it's summer right now where all school is out and parents are scrambling to find ways to entertain their kids. Maybe there's family you haven't seen in a long time and you're trying to figure out what to get them. Nieces or nephews, cousins, kids who you want to encourage reading in. This box is perfect for a gift. So you can go to owlcratejr.com and save 15% on your first subscription or non-renewing gift with the code GLASSES at checkout. This is such an awesome thing to get for a kid. Also, if you're looking for something for your own kids, you get to read the book too and participate. The activities are so much fun. The goodies, the box that we got had like, in addition to all the cool activities, it had like a cool beanie in it and bookmarks. And I was like, I just couldn't believe how much stuff was in that one box. Such a great gift. Such a great thing to get for your kids. So that's owlcratejr.com to save 15% on your first subscription. You use GLASSES at checkout, and that's owlcratejr.com, code GLASSES. GLASSES.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott.
And we're the hosts of Round Springfield.
Round Springfield is a Simpsons-adjacent podcast where we talk to Simpsons folks about non-Simpsons things.
That's right. So in the past, we've gotten to talk to legendary showrunners and writers like Al Jean, Bill Oakley, Josh Weinstein, Dana Gould, Mike Reese, and David X. Cohen.
Voice actors like Maurice LaMarche, Maggie Roswell, and Yardley Smith, the voice of Lisa Simpson herself.
Hell yeah. So we've been away securing guests for our final 5 episodes. We won't tell you everybody, but we'll let you know that the last episode is kind of a big deal. We got Matt Groening.
Homer's dad.
We got Homer's dad.
Check out new episodes of Round Springfield starting June 21st.
On Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
Smell you later.
Now let's solve a bookish problem from one of our listeners. Salvatore writes in, My partner has been reading a book that was recommended by one of her coworkers, who was extremely enthusiastic about it. My partner started reading it, and she didn't like it, but she kept reading, not wanting to disappoint her colleague and also hoping that the book would get better. It hasn't, and she's now halfway through this terrible book that she doesn't like. It's not a short book, it's 600 pages, but she feels like she has to finish it because she owes it to the coworker, and she's feeling guilty. And she'd feel guilty returning it without finishing it, since the coworker was so excited about this book. How does she let the coworker know that she just wasn't into this book without letting down her colleague and without feeling residual book guilt? Bria, what do you think Salvador's partner should do?
First of all, I like this is for a partner. Are we sure the partner isn't you? It's like, you're like, I'm asking for a friend. I swear the friend isn't me. It doesn't matter.
You know I'm good at dumping books now, though.
Oh, no, I mean, that Salvador is pretending it's somebody else.
Oh, yeah. Cough. Yes, it's for a friend.
But whatever. So if it's for you or for your partner, Salvador, it doesn't really matter. So I think Mallory and I will agree that your partner needs to stop reading. Yes, Mallory?
Yes.
Stop reading the book. We give your partner permission.
We need like an air horn. We need to bust into this this person's house with an air horn. Like, stop it.
Stop reading. I think, so stop reading. And I'd say, look, you don't have to lie and say you read the book, but go to the Wikipedia page and be like, I know what happens now. I didn't have time to finish it, or it just didn't really grab me. But I think you can definitely just say, like, it didn't really hit, right? But here's what this person wants, I think. I'm going to get into the psychology of the work friend. And is this a work friend? I've just assumed this is a work friend. A colleague. Okay.
Bria has just put on a monocle and pulled down a chalkboard.
I think that they want to talk to your friend about it, right? They're trying to look for something to bond about. So, like, you've read half this book. You can be like, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm going to finish it, but I am curious, like, what happened to so-and-so? Or, like, you know, that way that person, like, feels like they get to talk about it, which is what they really want to do, and you can talk to them about it, and you can read the Wikipedia or something and just find out how it ends if you really want to. But the whole reason that they want your partner to read it, I think, is so they can have a conversation with them. And maybe they can, you know, they can ask questions about the book or be like, you know, I didn't really get this part, which is the reason I stopped reading it. You don't have to say that, but then that person can be like, oh, this is what that part means. And also, it'll probably only come up this once. So your partner really doesn't need to worry about it too much. It may never fucking come up again. So don't panic about it. And maybe also recommend a different book y'all can read together. Like, this isn't really my thing, but would you want to read a different book together? Like another fantasy book or like a fantasy book or I assume this is a fantasy book because it's 600 pages. Could not be. Like, would you want to read a short?
That is very funny.
You could also just be like, I have trouble getting through 600-page books. Like, I'm not that into it. Can we read a novella? Whatever the thing is you're into, like, maybe find something. Because I think this person, like, I'm trying to think of their intentions are to bond with you and to share something they really love. So, like, they can let them defend the book. Let them talk about the characters they love because that's what they really want to do, you know? And if you want, you can also just not read the book, and if you don't really care about this person that much or to make this friendship work, then don't worry about it. What do you think, Mallory?
Yeah. Yikes. I do understand this awkward scenario, but I agree with Bria that I think this scenario is much less awkward than Salvador's partner is thinking it's going to be. Obviously, first off, dump that fucking book immediately. Give it back to your coworker. If your partner is able and comfortable doing so, she should just say it wasn't for her. Any decent person is going to be like, oh, I get it. Thanks for trying it out anyway. If the coworker gets upset or insists that Salvatore's partner keep reading it, your partner's got some bigger problems here. Like, then you have a book tyrant in your workplace and you have to figure out how to escape them. But it's not her, not Salvatore's partner's fault. It's obviously easier to just lie and say that you read it, especially since, like you said, Bria, she's read enough of it that at least name some of the characters and be like, oh, I loved Bobby too.
You read 300 pages. That's a book. You can may as well. Yeah.
And you could totally convincingly lie about it. But the only problem with that is if Salvatore's partner does that, she runs the risk of the coworker trying to force more books exactly like that. Like, oh, you like this book? There's 500 more in the series and they're all twice as long. And you're like, no.
I don't think there's no reason to like, I mean, just it's not for me, you know?
It's always best to be honest, even if to just cut off the stream of bad book recommendations that you don't want. Mm-hmm. Just tell Salvador's partner, needs to know that she's not a bad person because she did not like this book. There's a million reasons not to like a book, and many of them have nothing to do with the book being bad. Like I said, any decent person is just going to be like, hey, this isn't for me. But I think your solution or suggestion of being like, hey, do you want to read something else together?
Mm-hmm.
Or that neither of them have read. Because like you said, most people, when they're recommending things, they just want somebody. I mean, I know this happens to me and my boyfriend all the time. Is that like we want each other to see a movie and we don't even want to talk that deeply. You just want somebody else to be like, yes, this was good.
Yeah.
You just, it's like a very human experience to want some other person that you are friends with or close with in some way to acknowledge that this thing is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a, you know, just, it's nice when you are seeing a sunset. It's just nice to have another person be like, yes, this, I'm seeing this too. And it is also, it is pretty. I agree.
They're just looking for community. They're looking for some sort of community, a shared experience. So, I mean, maybe that shared experience is some other book or something else or a movie or something else. Like, I mean, maybe this person just wants to be friends with you. And I think that that's, you can acknowledge that, you know?
Yeah, they're looking to bond with you. And also, if they're really enthusiastic about this one book, they're probably going to be enthusiastic about other books. You know, it's not like this one book is like the end all be all to their personality. They're not. And if they're, again, I keep saying this, but if they're a decent person, they'll just be like, oh, you didn't like it? That's cool.
Yeah.
I have another book that's different. Or do you want to read something? Maybe I can read something that you liked. It's just, it's a situation that's very easy to build up in your head as like something that's very awkward and uncomfortable. But in most scenarios, if you're just honest, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
So, Saboteur, tell your partner to put that book back in her bag and bring it back to work and give it to that person.
Yeah.
No book guilt.
No book guilt.
So if you want us to solve your reader problem or absolve you or your partner of any reader guilt, you can send it to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Time to look at some book tech, advances in bookish technology. This week, we're testing one of our favorite things to do on Reading Glasses, some reading snack technology recommended by many, many listeners, M&M's. So Bria, first off, weren't M&M's invented for like soldiers or something like that?
I mean, yes, sort of. So basically, the son of the guy who owned the Mars company got the idea during the Spanish Civil War when he saw British soldiers eating a candy that were called Smarties at the time that had chocolate center and candy coating on the outside. And they were designed to keep them from melting because it was the candy coating. And the first big, once M&M's came around, the first big customer was the U.S. Army, who sent it with soldiers to tropical climates so they'd have something to eat. And during World War II, they actually sold exclusively to the military. But they've been around for a long-ass time, M&M's.
Do you think they were, like, camo M&M's?
Oh, wow. I'm sure they were all brown. They probably didn't have colored ones at that point. Did you know you can get, like, your name written on M&M's and, like, people do that for, like, baby showers and weddings and stuff?
Yes. You know, it's funny. I believe it was Rachel Harrison who wrote The Return that ordered specifically pink return themed M&Ms for when The Return came out.
Oh, I love
for
that.
Her launch party.
That's very fun.
Which is great. And I remember she was tweeting, she was just like, oh, because her launch party got canceled because it was right at the beginning of COVID. But she was like, at least I have all these delicious M&Ms to eat by myself. So Bria, what M&Ms did you test out for this?
Well, I did not test out M&Ms. We actually had a Glasser send in some Unreal peanut. They're not called M&Ms, are they? Unreal.
Yeah, we're using M&Ms in the way that people would use the word Band-Aid, is that there is the trademark brand,
yeah,
M&M,
Kleenex.
But M&M, we all now understand that an M&M is a round piece of chocolate covered in candy, whatever brand it is.
Right. So I tested out, someone sent us, and I don't have their name, and I don't think it was on there, but they sent us dark chocolate peanut gems. By the way, I say the word gem like the name Jim. Jim? Jim? I have trouble with this when I'm playing D&D. It's always like, I'm like, I have five gems to give you. And it sounds like I have five guys named Jim I'm going to hand you.
That's very
anyway,
funny.
Anyway, chocolate covered gems. And that is what I ate. And since then, I have also bought the Unreal Dark Chocolate Crispy Quinoa Gems. Dark Chocolate Crispy Quinoa Gems. What a mouthful. A mouthful of excellence. They're so good. They're vegan, so I like them a lot. Gluten-free. And look, maybe I'm not a soldier in a tropical climate. Maybe I'm just a woman on a couch reading a book. And maybe those things are different. I don't know. Who could say? But They help me just the same as they would a chilled soldier in a tropical climate. No melty fingers. Perfect size for munching. And you can have just a few, or maybe you can have multiple bags, because everyone knows that we were sent three bags, but Mallory only received one of the three bags.
Mallory got none of the three bags.
Thank
you very
much. I couldn't
much.
Remember if I gave you one or zero. Seven no. during
Bria ate all four of these bags.
There
of
were
chocolate.
Three. There were only 3 cents. And then I bought
to her
more.
Face.
And keeping, wow, I kept it for a long time. I remember I put it in a specific shelf and I was like, John, don't touch this. And Bria, don't touch this. And then at one point you're like, I'm not coming to, you like left town. And so I was like, well.
It was after I moved and I realized that it was like in that weird period of time between when I moved and I wasn't fully vaccinated. Yeah. So I couldn't come.
And a chocolate covered candy is not going to survive in my house for more than a month. Like that
no,
is. Hypocrisy.
A long time ago, I accepted that any chocolate that we get is yours. You remember when your mom sent us a bunch of chocolate and you ate them all and your mom got mad? She was like, give some of that to Mallory.
This is why I can't keep snacks in my house because they get eaten. And I ate all these gems. I ate the quinoa gems, the peanut gems. If there's any gems in my house, they're going to get eaten. Too delicious of a jewel.
So
anyway,
how many? So no chocolate covered fingers though.
Yeah, 5 out of 5. I think they're great. I think they come in large packages, but you can get them in small ones. I saw recently, like in like smaller than like a traditional M&M package. But yeah, I think they're really good. I think this is a really good snack, reading snack, because no melty fingers. You can eat them without looking at them because you can just grab them out of the package. There's just like a lot of bonuses for M&Ms. This is a really good one. You, however, what did you test?
So I did get my own Unreal peanut M&Ms.
Okay, okay, good.
but I also got the M&M brand peanut M&Ms, which are one of my favorite snacks of all time. I'm not a big chocolate person, but I love a peanut M&M. And something that a few listeners wrote in to say that was the perfect reading snack, mini M&Ms.
How many now, is mini? How small is mini?
Probably about the size, even smaller than the end of a pen.
Okay.
Like the round part
like
of a pen.
Like the size of like a pill bug.
Yeah. I don't know what that is, but
okay.
Sure.
A doodle bug. A doodle bug? You don't know what that is? You probably have a name for it that I'm saying the wrong name. Okay, go ahead.
We probably have some obnoxious Massachusetts
name. Yeah, it's
called
like a Worcester. A Worcester bug.
A Worcester bug. Have you been to Worcester?
No, but I'm working on something that has Worcester in it. That's why I know about it.
Back in Worcester, it's a Worcester bug. Okay, back on track. They're very small M&Ms. They're exactly the size of a Worcester bug. But they come, okay. Every listener who wrote in to tell us about mini M&Ms for reading, you were absolutely fucking right. But it's not about the size of the M&M. It's about the tube. So the tube that the... mini M&Ms come in a small tube that's about the size of a finger, at least if you're me. I have very small hands. Length of a finger and about the... it's about the size of a finger. And it's the perfect reading snacking tool. I ended up saving the tube and putting some of the other M&Ms that I was testing into it. It's the perfect portion of chocolate because it's like a handful of chocolate in this tube. Zero chocolate coated fingers because you're not touching the chocolate with your hands, and it's easy to operate with one hand. You pop the top of the tube off. Tip some M&Ms in your mouth, and then pop the top of the tube back on with your thumb. It's incredible. Zero chocolate coated fingers. 5 out of 5 pages. I'm putting it out there. Tube of mini M&Ms might be the ultimate way to eat chocolate while reading.
I just don't think this is going to be enough chocolate for me. Like, how long am I here for?
You can reload it. Go back for a second round.
Okay, all right. But the getting up, the reloading, like how many M&Ms can you fit in there? Full-size M&Ms can you fit in there too?
Full-size, I mean, like about a handful.
Like 5.
No. Like filling the palm of, if you cup your hand.
You said a size of a finger. This feels like it can fit like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 M&Ms in there.
I have small fingers. I'm trying to think.
Well, then be less. It'd be like 3.
Is this?
Okay. All right, I gotta see it. You gotta send me a photo.
Yeah, you gotta get one. You gotta get some tube. The tube is key. I kept the M&M tube. I still have it in my cabinet.
So this is more a review for the tube, not the M&Ms.
I mean, I will say the peanut M&Ms are the mini M&Ms are great because I am not a huge chocolate person. So with the mini M&Ms, you get a higher ratio of candy coating to chocolate.
Oh, good
love
point.
The crunch. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I love good both point. Of them, but I got really sidetracked about the tube. I'm obsessed with the tube now. And I think that if you're a chocolate reader, you, even if you don't like M&Ms, buy the tube and put other stuff in it. Tube is
tube.
Truly incredible. Mm-hmm. If you folks, send your preferred way of eating chocolate to us. If you are an M&M fan, let us know. I'm going to do some more research into the tube. Maybe they make bigger tubes for a larger chocolate eating experience.
Can you put the peanut M&Ms in the tube? They're big. It's bigger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Less of them, obviously, but still about a handful. It was great.
Okay.
I used it. I did it even when I wasn't reading. It was great. When I was playing World of Warcraft, when I was working.
Wow. Tube for the win.
Tube was an innovation that has truly changed my life.
Wow.
Jeremy laughs at me because I keep it in the cupboard and it's like, it's my little snack tube. But I think a listener wrote in to say like the tube is the way to go.
Wow. Okay. All right. I'm here. I'm going to try this tube. Got to try the tube.
Tube in the snack cup. I think that's the tube is like the next step forward from the snack cup because you can put a lid on the tube. Mm. But yeah, you can send all of your snack related ideas and innovations to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. As always, we want to thank the wonderful mods who run our Facebook group, Chrissy and Rachel, who moderate our Goodreads page. Remember, you can buy Reading Glasses shirts and notebooks and pillows and totes and mugs in our Void merch collaboration store. There's a link in the show notes. And if you like the show, you can rate and review us on iTunes. It makes us feel amazing about ourselves. Every time we see those 5-star reviews go up, a bird comes in my window and does my hair while a rainbow shines into my coffee cup. It's an amazing experience. You can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at ReadingGPodcast. On Instagram at ReadingGlassesPodcast. And as always, thanks for listening and thanks for reading.
Thanks for reading.